My name is Paul, and I'm a comic book geek.
My name is Hugh, and I'm an all-purpose geek.
My name is Corbs, and I'm a sports geek.
My name is Jack, I'm a history geek.
This is Geek Pod. Welcome to this week's edition of Geek Pod. I'm your host, Paul.
I'm Hugh.
And I'm Lana.
Yes, Lana's back. It's been a while.
It has been a very long time. So long that Lana wasn't even aware that we had new microphones.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Way to go, kid.
Yeah, we had to have a little discussion with her about math today because she asked us why the other mics weren't on the table. So I had to have her count the number of people around the table and then count the number of mics and ask her why we would need more.
I was talking about why you didn't have the old-timey mics. Why there are all these gold things instead of the ones that you guys love oh so much.
Oh, we still
love
those.
Oh, I still love them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like Paul said, we'll break them out and we'll see how they work with the new sound setup. Just to see if the sound issue, you know, is fine with those mics. And then, you know, we may mix it up a little bit.
Especially for live events, I'm thinking. We'll bring out all the cool-looking mics for it.
Yeah, I mean, these look like studio mics anyway. Well, they are studio mics. What am I talking about? So the other ones are definitely more geared toward live events, I think. But now that we've talked for a minute about our microphones, I'm sure everyone's riveted.
Folks, what's got you geeked?
All right. So I've got something pretty interesting that might lead into another segment for us or something we've kicked around talking about doing. Now, by the time our next show is recorded, my very first batch of beer will be bottled, and my second batch will be brewed and sitting like beer must do. Now, I'm geeked about this just because I've discovered a love of craft beer. You know, more recently, I'll say a big part of that was when we were in Saratoga. We stopped at that one place, and I had that, I forget what it was, a cherry port and a peanut butter and jelly stout. You know, this was the most amazing. I mean, a peanut butter and jelly stout. I mean, come on. It was freaking amazing. I was just like, I did not know that beer could actually be an art form. You know, in the past, I always thought it's a way to inebriate yourself and, you know, lubricate the party, blackout, whatever it is you happen to do. I'm more recently discovering the craft behind that. Paul, you look like you want to say something.
No, I was going through my phone and actually found a partially blurry photo taken that night of the menu, so we can describe this beer full detail. But let's use that as the opening shot to what you're discussing right now.
Okay. Wait, so you're not going to say it, or you are?
I'm not until we get right into the quote-unquote new segment that you're leading
into.
Ah,
so it'll be a while down the road. Okay. So, anyway, so I decided that I wanted to get involved in that, and I've been trying a number of beers over the past 2 months. You know, I love the fact that both Wegmans and Price Chopper offers the six-pack, you know, for $10. You can get six different beers, pick whatever you want. I will say, Wegmans, you need to get your head out of your ass, because I went there a few weeks ago. I wasn't even going to get anything that day, and then I saw a chocolate shake beer. I was like, ooh. So I grabbed that and one other one that looked really interesting. I only wanted two, okay? I didn't need six beers. I go up to cash out. They're like, oh, you can't buy just two. You have to buy a whole six-pack. I'm like, well, Price Chopper lets me buy just two if I want. And the guy's like, gets the manager over, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, what the hell? You know, I didn't want to buy, didn't need six. So I think Wegmans could really fix that. That's kind of silly.
I agree. That's because we had this discussion off mic, because I talked about if we're going to start doing this thing, I was just going to go grab a bottle and we'll split the bottle and do the thing. He's like, yeah, good luck with that. Buy six. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't really understand the reasoning behind that. I mean, seriously, is it a bad thing, even health-wise and socially, if somebody wants one beer rather than six? Come on, Wegmans, get with the program.
I mean, you can buy one beer at Wegmans, but when you buy that one beer, they're like fucking 2 feet tall.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Oma Gang. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's just how Oma Gang does things, though. That's a little different.
So good.
Yeah, Oma Gang is good, and we're definitely going to talk about that. Anyway, so for Father's Day, my wife got me a Mr. Beer. Now, anybody that is into brewing and listening to this just laughed. I understand that Mr. Beer is not the pinnacle of brewing, but it is a very good place for somebody to start, especially when that person has a wife who's like, no, you're not going to spend $200 on brewing equipment. However, $20 at Walmart as a Father's Day gift, she was okay with. And of course, you know, that this leads to other things. Now, I probably should talk about this more when we actually do the segment down the road. But I am going to take this from following the recipe on the box to hopefully its full conclusion of eventually buying more stuff, you know, piecemeal, so it doesn't cost a lot. And I'm hoping it'll culminate in Geek Pod Ale, or GPA, as I told Paul. And as my my boss at Revs, when I brought this up to her, she said, GPA, the Dean's List of Beers. Or on the Dean's List of Beers. I like that. But it's going to be an interesting journey. We would like to do a segment about this. Now, I'm already looking at setting up a WordPress website, which we can link to Geek Pod. And you and I will kick this around later after the show, because I'm having trouble coming up with a name. But I've been taking pictures and documenting what I've been doing so far. Because what I found as a novice, amateur, whatever you want to call it, brewer, there are a lot of questions I had. Like, for instance, I would go to the forums and I would start looking stuff up about how this process works. You know what I saw there? Go buy yourself a real setup. Go buy yourself a real setup. Go buy yourself a real setup. Now, I did find one video where a couple guys said, listen, this is not a... These were professional brewers. This is not a premium setup, but you can do some really cool stuff. And here's the thing. When it comes to beer brewing, you can actually do it all with a Mr. Beer. It's just a smaller batch. And you can actually – it can be as complicated as the other brewing. It's just very user-friendly for the first-time brewer. It's pretty much bulletproof. You can't make a mistake.
Now, entry level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of where you need to start. I don't think it's a bad thing. And I'm excited about this because, like I said, by the time we've recorded our next show, my first batch of beer will now be carbonating. And hopefully by the show after that, I will have beer that we can drink. Now, it's just an American Light. That's what came with it. I do have a couple other refills I've gotten, an Oktoberfest and a porter. So, and I'm dipping my toes in those and just trying
stuff. Not into the beer, right? You're not dipping your toes in the beer.
I'm not dipping my toes in the beer. I should have waited to tell you whether I was doing that till after you drank it.
Now, how do you carbonate it?
Well, you take once it's sat in the keg, because it has to do its thing and make beer. You have to test it, make sure it tastes like beer. And then I bought two boxes of bottles. And what you do is they have these little sugar drops, but you can also use regular table sugar, because you put that in the bottom of the bottle, then you fill it up to about an inch from the top and cap it and leave it there for at least another 2 weeks. Because what happens is the active yeast will now work on that sugar to create CO2 or carbonation. And that's what makes it all bubbly. So, I mean, some people use compressed air. I mean, there's lots of different ways you can do it. But that's the simplest way. But it's nice that you can either get the drops or use just table sugar. But you know what? Those little drops, they look like hard candies. It's like $1.75 for a packet of, I don't know, 25, 30, whatever. It's not breaking the bank. In fact, I'm finding none of the things involved with this really are too bad. They do have higher level kits like craft beer refills, because the basic ones are all $10 to $15. The more elaborate ones, I mean, I've seen them up to like $40. So it depends on how far you want to take it. But I think you can also take the basic kits and you can add stuff to get those other kits. So anyway, that's kind of getting into what we want to do. Paul and I have been talking about doing something called Beer Bastards. I don't know if we know if it's a separate podcast, if it's just a segment. But we were talking about maybe looking to see if we could get people interested in that, people paying money to be featured on that, sponsors, things like that, and where we would try different craft beers and talk about it on air. Paul, I'll let you take this part away.
Okay, so yes, what I'm envisioning, I mean, we had grand designs at first, and it was just going to be a spin-off podcast, you know, but maybe that's not where we're ready for yet. I think it's something we should just incorporate into the show itself. We're hoping we'll get a little feedback from you guys after our initial on the fly one we're doing right here, right now. And hopefully you'll enjoy the segment. I think it's another facet to the whole diamond that we...
Yeah, because we don't... I mean, we call ourselves Geek Pod, but it's a whole mess of stuff and a whole lot of different interests that all kind of converge. And it's what we want to talk about when we get together. That's what we envision this show to begin with.
That was the plan from the beginning, yeah.
And what do guys like to talk about more than beer?
Boobs.
Yes.
Okay. Unless that was just me, yes. I'm all about the boobs. But anyway, we want to discuss the peanut butter and jelly stout that he was talking about from Saratoga. And that was one of the last bars we stopped at, so I don't remember what the name of the bar was. But this was, and I actually took a picture of the menu. And this is a peanut butter and jelly stout made by Old Saratoga Brewing Company out of New York. Its description is an oatmeal stout brewed with peanut butter and jelly, 6% alcohol by volume. It was a $7 beer, by the way.
Yeah.
Says one. And when they say peanut butter and jelly, they were not kidding.
No, and I'm talking grape jelly. I'm not talking about, oh, I only eat strawberry jelly on my peanut butter sandwich. Fuck you. When I grew up, the only thing we had, it wasn't even jelly. It was just a congealed block of gel. Okay? Okay? That's what peanut butter and jelly was. It was butter and grape Concord jelly.
That's it.
Yeah, and that's what that thing tasted like, and I was blown away.
And it was a very, very light beer. Very thin. You know what I mean? Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Not something I would order every day, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because that's when you're on the kick where you're going to make me try crazy beers that night.
Yeah.
Yes, so. It was a...
And I think that kind of speaks to where we are with brewing, because when I was young, it was all about how many Bud Lights can we fit in the fridge. Now it's about, let me find that one perfect beer and enjoy it. It's almost brought up to the level of foodie. You know, like what Food Network has done for food, craft beer is now done for beer. And I, for one, am excited to be getting involved in this. Not because, oh, let's drink some beers. It's this. I'd be just as excited about trying a new food at a new restaurant or something like that. It's that kind of interest.
Right. Like your bangers and mash.
Really? Exactly. Excited. Yeah. Oh. God.
He just threw up in his mouth again.
Yeah. My gorge is rising. That doesn't even make sense. What the hell does that mean? My gorge is rising.
I don't know. I've never heard that before.
Oh.
Is that a Happy Valley thing?
No. That's if you're about to throw up, your gorge is rising. I know it sounds dirty, but it's not. Well, unless you're into that kind of thing.
Right. So, the peanut butter and jelly stout, something you would purchase at home.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think I would, but I think it is one that's it's a nice going out beer. You go out, you're hanging out with a buddy, have one or two of those, feel a little classy, maybe stick the pinky out when you're drinking. So, I mean, we have to flesh this out. We have to decide on what our ratings are going to be and whatnot. But
I hate that term.
Both ratings?
Flesh this out.
It's probably like that thing where people don't like moist either. I'm sure it's just one of those
moist.
Random.
Just
I don't mind that word.
Dirty, naughty word. Sorry. I think we're just going to call this episode moist now.
Oh, no. That's a horrible
You'll
word.
Piss off everybody.
And that's different how?
I think we can come up with something better than that. Let's see how the show rolls.
Right. So we turned your What's Got You Geeked into the Beer Bastard segment.
We
so
did.
Outstanding. And typically we would tell you where you can purchase this, but we don't remember. In Saratoga. Across the street from...
There was two bars across the street from each other, and they were both pretty good. One had the, I think it had the cherry porter at one, and the peanut butter and jelly stout at the other. But they were both kind of the same thing. Pricey? I mean, you don't go out to get drunk at these places. You go out to have a really good drink and talk with friends. It was probably, I think there was kind of hipstery.
Yes, definitely.
I think so. Yeah. You know, I felt a little weird being in there. But regardless, if you're out in Saratoga, check it out. I mean, they had some really interesting stuff I've never seen anywhere else.
I know they were across the street from the Parting Glass.
Yes,
that's what I remember. So, go check it out if you're in Saratoga, maybe when you're attending ChaseCon.
It was on one of the side streets. It was because we saw it while we were eating. We were looking at it. Isn't that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It was left side of the Parting Glass. If you're facing the front of the building, it's the street on the left side.
Next time we'll do our due diligence. Of course, next time we'll just have bought craft beer from a store or from your house.
Yeah. Well, you know, in all fairness, we did not know that that was going to become a thing. I mean, it was really just, hey, we're out for our first convention. I've never been in Saratoga in this capacity. You know, let's kind of take a look and see what's out there.
Agreed. I'd never been to Saratoga before at all. So, but does Lana have a what's got you geeked, or was she not prepared for today because it was probably a last minute?
Oh, a little last minute.
So. Yeah, it was kind of last minute.
Of course, I did say yesterday, you know, you're coming to record with us.
I mean, I kind of have something, but I'm not, like, super excited about it.
If you have something to talk about, that's better than having nothing to talk about.
That's very true.
That's why I told you I vaguely had planned something.
Vaguely had plans, yes.
Anna Kendrick is going to get into the Marvel world, and she knows what character she wants to be.
She wants to play, yes, I saw this too. Feel free.
I don't know who Squirrel Girl is, but apparently Anna Kendrick feels like she can relate to the Squirrel Girl and wants to play her in the Marvel movies.
I don't know who that is.
Anna Kendrick?
Yeah.
Pitch Perfect, kind of emo-y looking one, brown hair.
Cute little brunette.
I don't know what Pitch Perfect is. No, really, please don't look it up. It sounds like one of those stupid...
I'm going to look up Anna Kendrick. I'm going to show you a picture. You've got to have seen her somewhere.
I've never seen the movies either, but I know something about a song called Cups or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the Cups girl?
No, not two girls, one cup.
No. I know what you're saying.
Why did you even... You didn't even have to go there.
I know the Cups song.
Okay.
I thought that was a YouTube thing, though.
No, I mean, it caught fire and went on. Okay. Hugh has no idea.
Really? Have you been living under a rock? Do you not know who she is?
I don't even know how to answer that.
I know who she is. There's rumblings that she may even appear in Spider-Man Homecoming. So,
wow.
Very small rumblings at this point. This is very new information. I believe yesterday, right?
Yeah, it came out yesterday.
Being Friday, July 1st, for anyone listening in the future.
In the future.
From their, think about these
in their flying car.
Yes. Or just in their regular car and they're listening to it a week after we drop it.
Oh, there's that too. Yeah, like anyone will be listening to this when there's flying cars.
Right. It'll just be projected into their ear.
Like anybody will be listening to this next week in their car.
Okay. So what's got me geeked? It's probably something that matters to nobody. But
as usual,
yes, I'm really geeked that GeekPod has their own alliance on Marvel Future Fight.
Yes, we do. And exactly how did that come about, Paul?
Because someone was texting me, pestering me about it.
And why was that person pestering you about it?
Because I forced them to get back into the game and said we were doing this.
And how long ago was that?
I'm going to check the tapes because I think it goes back months.
Wait, what is it?
It's a mobile game.
It's a cool mobile game.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said mole game. Like,
mole
what the
game,
fuck?
Yes. I have moles in my backyard. We now have an alliance with them.
Smack-a-mole.
But we've decided, because they wouldn't let me just have it called GeekPod, because my character name in the game is GeekPod. So I had to go with something different, and Legion of Geeks didn't fit. I wanted to do that to tie it all in.
I wondered why you didn't choose that. Okay.
Yeah, it would not fit. So I ended up having to go with GeekPod Elite. So, any of our listeners that are playing the game, feel free to throw the application out there. Is that what it is? That you have to apply or whatever?
You have to search in the Alliance section, search for the name, so the GeekPod Elite, and then you have to put in an application. And then the person in charge of the Alliance, which would be Paul, has to look at it and approve. I'm assuming if they send along nudes, that increases their chances of being approved?
No. I'm doing this with
integrity?
Thank you.
Following the superhero code?
No. I think I skew more towards anti-hero. Possibly even supervillain. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, we only have a few members right now, but we're growing slowly. I do know that I get really mad when I look in our ratings, and Hugh has more points for the Alliance than I do, so I have to go in and do more stuff just so I can stay number one.
Yeah, I was number one for a couple days there.
I know.
And you know what it is, Paul? Is my, and I'm going to have you remind me after the show, you can look at my characters and stuff. I've been playing the game leveling up the characters that I like. When you have an Alliance, you need to have a more balanced set because they choose one of the... There's different power sets, and each character falls under that category. They choose a different category for these Alliance battles. And, I mean, when I come across, okay, it's going to be one, and I have all these level one characters, it's like, you know, Kingpin, ooh, Green yeah. Goblin, and some guy with a purple face whose name I don't know. And I'm like, ah, oh, crap, this is going to be a bad one. And I die in like 2 seconds.
Squish, yeah.
Yeah, but then, you know, I get, you know, my Captain America and my Superior Spider-Man, because I will not call him Dr. Octopus. And I do good.
Did you get the Superior Spider-Man costume?
I think you'll be impressed with the length of time I've been playing, the team I have. Yeah.
Awesome.
I've got a fully maxed out Spider-Gwen.
Really?
Yeah.
Six-starred?
Yeah, six stars.
This is compelling for anyone who's not playing the game.
Probably. Just so. All right, we'll move on. We'll talk about it after the show. We have to remember, though, because like last week, we forgot to tell Josh what the Valentine's Day show was all about.
Oh, I know.
I was so pissed about that.
Yeah, I think it was because we kept him so long that he would just probably had to go.
Yeah.
Like, probably to the bathroom. But, no, I kid. But yeah, I'm really excited about this now that I actually have, like, real friends playing the game and we can interact. And
now you should just cut that off now that I have real friends.
Boom. See, doesn't it suck that you're not
and they're playing the game.
Yeah.
Dead air.
Yeah, I just totally blanked.
Yeah, you did.
Totally
blanked. See, I could see it.
It's
it was
still
like
there.
A glaze
yeah.
came over your eyes.
It's almost like a black bartender just threw me out. I can't help myself. I love that story. That's one of my new favorite stories.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't realize that it was going to resonate so much with you, Paul, but...
I do think I'm going to do what we were talking about off mic.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
That is,
if you have those skills.
Well, it may be very rudimentary, but we'll do it.
Well, I mean, when I say have those skills, I mean, people talk about how you can do anything you put your mind to. I wanted to be a comic book artist when I was younger. I can still barely manage stick figures. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I was even like tracing comic covers and then trying to replicate them separately, not tracing them and all that. I actually put in an effort because I thought that's what I was going to do when I was younger.
My God, you
not
can.
A chance. I can't even write. You've seen my handwriting. It's horrible.
It literally looks like a chicken stepped in ink and tried to write.
Yeah.
There might be a market for that, though.
Is tattoos, maybe.
Yeah, I told him about a really cute tattoo that I wanted to get with him, and he's like, no, my handwriting sucks.
Oh, what was that again?
I wanted you to write I love you on a piece of paper and then have that tattooed on my wrist. And then you're like, no, my handwriting sucks. You wouldn't be able to read it. But that's like...
I could still do it. I'd do that for you.
That's what makes it special.
I would absolutely do that.
We know a budding tattoo artist.
We do?
Yes.
Who's that?
Salotero. He's
oh,
moving
he's...
into that territory.
Ooh,
yeah.
That would be awesome.
So,
I got some news later on for sale, too. Got some stuff that's right up his alley.
Outstanding.
Totally. Go get my first tattoo from him.
There you go.
I would want to get some actual artwork from him. It's like, hey, do the I love you, because you want to do it, too, for me. And then have him do something else, just because I love his artwork.
Yes. It's phenomenal.
Well, I already have ideas for both wrists, so...
We mean tattoos, just...
Yeah, I know. I'm not big.
Lana.
Keep going. She's had the puzzled look because I'm throwing my hands around.
Well, you look like you were just telling me to shut up. You're
no.
like, no, stop.
I would actually verbalize that. I'd be like, shut up.
I don't know. I'm not big on getting, like, faces or anything because I always see them on, like, other people and they kind of look crappy. So, I don't know. I'm not big on, like... Flowers and trees, okay, but, like...
People, no.
No.
Yeah. You don't want the people on me, get them off!
I've been saying that for years. Okay, so do you want to roll into news, or do you want to roll into a topic I've got to discuss that will probably shock and amaze you?
You know, I think I'd rather do the news and get it out of the way.
All right.
I really struggled with news this week, and I wanted to talk about this a little. I came to a realization last night as I was desperately trying to put this together, and I was trying to come up with titles. And I'm not saying this because I think the news segment is going to change, but I figured out why I've been having such a hard time. It's because any of the news that I want to talk about and would have ideas for good titles, I post in the Facebook feed. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I try not to replicate anything for our news segment for the show that I put in the Facebook feed unless it's something big you can't avoid talking about. So by the time...
Stop putting things in the Facebook
feed.
But
that gets people
yes.
interacting on our Facebook, which is important as well.
Post other things.
Don't listen to her.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we have to, because that stuff's topical. It has to come up. I mean, if I tell people in the Facebook feed that something happened, or we only record every 2 weeks, so by, you know, the time something's 2 weeks old, it might be different. So, no, it's important to stay up to date in the Facebook feed. But, yeah, I mean, I'm using everything that I would want to talk about there, and I'm struggling because anything else that's left over, if it wasn't important enough to put in the Facebook feed, it's
really hard. Why are you talking about it?
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm going to change things up a little, but I will say I really struggled this week, and I have one item that I was not able to come up with a title for, so I'm just going to lead with that. Now, I was kicking around How to Make Money Without Actually Doing Any More Work by Ken Levine, but no one would know that if they didn't know Ken Levine is the guy behind the BioShock games. But the BioShock collection is coming in September. Now, if you're not familiar with that, it was Irrational Games and I believe 2K got together years ago, and they started something called BioShock. And it was an amazing game set in an underwater world, and they've done three games, BioShock 1, BioShock 2, and BioShock Infinite. And what they're doing is they are now taking those three games and they're remastering them and updated textures and all that and releasing them all in one collection in September. Now, they don't really need to do anything with Infinite because that was this console cycle, so it already meets those standards. I kind of feel a little let down, and this kind of feeds into the Skyrim thing, and I hope this isn't a trend, but I hope we don't see developers going, hey, I have this really great idea for a new game. No. Remember that game that was a hit 4 years ago? We're going to update the textures and release it now, and that's what we're going to have.
Yeah, we're going to repackage and put it back out.
Now, by the way, BioShock 1 still looks fantastic. It was a gorgeous game when it came out, and I don't know if they don't realize this, but I'd like the developers to recognize something, okay? Let's look at Left 4 Dead. I mean, it's got to be close to 10 years old now. Left 4 Dead still looks great. You know why it looks great? Because there's not a Left 4 Dead 3, something similar using some of the same assets and everything that's out now that I can compare it to. Now, Call of Duties and stuff, you can kind of compare those because it's kind of the same idea over and over again. And yeah, we have other zombie shooters, but nothing else quite like Left 4 Dead. When I go back to play Left 4 Dead, which I do on a regular basis, I never, ever look at that and go, man, this doesn't look as good as Battlefront, because the two don't connect in my mind.
Right.
Battlefront is completely its own thing. And if I was going to compare that to anything, it'd be the old Battlefront games. I mean, I think it's great that people love these games enough that you think that you'll sell enough copies. But you know what? As far as getting them all three in a bundle, that's happened on Steam. That's happened on the PlayStation Network. I've been able to buy a bundle of those three games for a long time. And anybody who hasn't, who's going to drop $60... I mean, is anyone going to drop $60 for new textures? I'm not going to. No.
I don't intend to.
No, there's no point. So I don't know if this is a new thing. I certainly hope it isn't going to be, because... You know what I'd like to see? A new BioShock game. Or a new property that's as interesting, handled by those talented people that made the BioShock games. Soapbox, stepping off. On to the next thing. Hopefully Part 2 isn't a Jaeger bomb. Pacific Rim 2 has now been given a release date. Now, if you're familiar with Pacific Rim, it's a movie about... how these rifts opened on Earth and these giant monsters, think like Godzilla-type monsters,
Kaiju.
Sort of. Kaiju. Are showing up in these rifts all over the world. And humankind created these giant robot mech suits called Jaegers to combat these monsters. Now, the first movie, while... I mean, it was received okay. It did well. It did well enough to get a sequel, and that was in question for a while. And I'm really glad that we're past that. Because if you've watched Pacific Rim, I assume,
Paul? I have not.
Okay. Was not anything. It wasn't like I read. Man, damn it! I asked my 12-year-old manga. I asked my 12-year-old last night how to pronounce that because I can't ever remember. Not that I read manga. I mean, I read Robotech books when I was younger, but that's never been a huge interest for me. But this looked cool, and it was Guillermo del Toro, so that's all generally awesome. That was a great movie, great world building. I'm like, I totally would read a comic or a book or watch a TV show or watch more movies set in this universe. It's a really interesting idea. Fantastic. I'm excited to see where they go. Now, they are penciling this movie in for February 23rd, 2018. Do you know who is directing, taking over from Del Toro?
I have not heard.
Steven Knight from Daredevil.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. So, and do you know who the first actor is to be signed on?
John Boyega.
That's right.
That I saw.
So I hopefully having him jump in there means that this really is moving along now, because I'm sure his star has to be rising after The Force Awakens.
Oh, without a doubt.
I'm excited for Pacific Rim 2. I'd be excited for anything in that universe. Definitely, Paul, if you get a chance, sit down and watch it. The whole family can watch it. It's, I mean, kaiju are a little scary, but there's nothing objectionable.
So what you're saying is I should probably open the DVD I have at home.
Seriously?
Seriously. I have it. I have never opened it. It's one of those movies that
like the one that I let you borrow?
Dread, yes, which I still really want to watch, but now I have other avenues to watch it. So I won't need to borrow it again for a year.
God damn it. Anyway, next up, yanking our flaming chains. More signs that Ghost Rider might be coming to Netflix. Or, I'm not Netflix, I'm sorry.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, a couple weeks ago, there was an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. promo that had some flaming chains on it. And people were like, oh, it's Ghost Rider. And everyone said, no, it's this character that, since you watched the show.
Hellfire. He was one of the Inhumans.
Yes, who apparently has already been on the show in some capacity. And they're like, no, and it's really not going to be that. Which is kind of what you're used to from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is they can't really do any of the big characters.
Right.
But they kind of tease like they might. Now, some new stuff came out. Basically, some evidence has supported that they are introducing two Latino brothers in Season 4 that could very well be Gabe and Robbie Reyes. Now, I'm not a current Ghost Rider reader, but I do remember...
That's okay, because there is no current Ghost Rider Secret Wars.
Okay. There was a... Was Marvel Now... Was that going on before Secret Wars?
Yes.
Okay, because it was... I remember when the new Ghost Rider came out, who was apparently one of these two gentlemen who were talking about in the news article.
Yes.
So maybe we really are getting Ghost Rider on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It is a possibility, especially with the casting write-up. The Latino brothers, with one being a hothead who's always in trouble, or something to that nature, and the second one is wheelchair-bound, which ties into the first arc of the Marvel Now Ghost Rider.
Now, I have to wonder, would they introduce a character like that on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., considering that it seems so cut off from the rest of the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, that's hard. And, I mean, it may also feed into a lack of faith for the character.
Which I think is undeserved.
I agree. I mean, the Nick Cage movie wasn't awful. I don't know about the sequel. I never bothered with that one.
I watched it, and again... Wasn't bad. I mean, let's face it. You know, Nicolas Cage gets all excited about these comic book heroes, but then, you know, takes whatever they'll actually throw him rather than, you know, what he might be good at. I didn't think either movie was bad. I did watch the second one. I enjoyed it. The character itself seems like it's more geared toward Netflix, but I wonder if they feel like Ghost Rider's kind of a one-trick pony and they can't extend that for 13 episodes.
I can agree with that. Especially if they're going to use the Robbie Reyes character when you literally have, like, 12 issues of a comic book to base it off of.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's a double-edged sword, though. You only have so much source material, which means you don't have to adhere to that. You can take the character where you want to. But you also don't have anything to fall back on.
Well, I'm just hoping that if they do introduce him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that he's able to cross over, because Ghost Rider has been a member of the Defenders, if I'm not mistaken, has he not?
Yes, yes.
And I think that if they don't want to spend Netflix money to establish that character, first of all, it would make fans happy who are upset that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't really seem to tie into everything else. It would also tie, peripherally, the movies and the Netflix shows together, which, technically, while they're supposed to be the same, since they're being run by two different people, and it almost feels like they're deliberately keeping the Netflix shows in a bubble. They just, I mean, really, how many times is someone going to call Hulk the big green guy?
Right, without outright.
Yeah, it's the Hulk, we know it. But it would be great if they establish that character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then he can show up in the Defenders in some capacity. Or just show up, because at least the character's around. You know, you don't have to do a lot of setup or anything like that. Moving on from there, it's the E.T. / Lord of the Rings mashup we've all been waiting for. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Peter Jackson, I'm sorry, and Steven Spielberg are working on an unknown project. Now, nobody knows what this is, and it was supposed to be The last time they collaborated, it was on the Tintin movie, and now they say they're working on another production for Amblin Entertainment, and Lana's showing us a video of a dancing Hulk. And it's all a big secret. Now, Spielberg talked the New Zealand Herald this week and said, Peter was so busy with The Hobbit that it took him away from Tintin, and he's doing another film for my company now. It's a secret, nobody knows about it. Then after that, he'll do Tintin. Now, it's not like they haven't collaborated before, and we don't know if this is going to really be some big genre-type thing. But two of the biggest names in the industry working together, I mean, that's kind of cool. I'm excited to see what could come out of that. Your thoughts, Paul?
I'm still stunned by the amount of weight loss out of Peter Jackson. I saw the promo picture that went with them, and he's looking rather svelte.
Yeah. I didn't notice that.
I did. I don't know why that's what stuck with me. I was like, oh, look at that, Peter Jackson, and he's skinny.
Yeah, Paul was like, damn, Peter Jackson, be sexy.
No, still not. He still kind of looks like a homeless guy. But
next up, Rowling on to the sequel. J.K. Rowling has apparently already written the sequel to Fantastic Beasts. I have to look at my notes and where to find them. Now, it's interesting, I think, because after saying she was no longer writing anything in the Harry Potter universe, she went ahead and wrote something in the Harry Potter universe and the sequel to it and a stage play, which is now, I believe, running in London or going to be running shortly.
I think in July. Yeah.
It's good to know, and we've talked about this. We had not too long ago, I believe I said, listen, you know, if you're known for something and you create a world that people love, don't be a douchebag. And keep expanding on that, you know, when she tried to write that book, that detective story that kind of fell flat on its face. I'm hoping that this means that she's accepted the fact that she created an awesome world that could perpetually go on and be passed on to generation to generation. There's no reason not to, if you've got ideas. Now, they're making a movie out of Fantastic Beasts, so that clearly shows she hasn't run out of ideas. She just doesn't want to write for Harry Potter, that character, anymore. That's fine. The world of Harry Potter is freaking awesome. There's so many places you can go with that. I'm excited to see that, you know, it seems like she's grabbing onto this and she's just going to roll with it. Because really, that's what she should be doing for the rest of her life.
Yes. Does she want to keep making a lot of money? Yes. So keep playing in that world. You're going to make money.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that it's wrong for people to want to do something different. But here's the thing. Look at when you're starting something off. Like, Paul, you and I, we're starting this off now. We'll be proven wrong 15 years from now, but we would give just about anything to make this one thing, Geek Pod, a success.
Yes.
Now, I hope somebody slaps me in 15 years when, you know, we're hosting panels at New York Comic Con and all that, and we've made a name for ourselves. If I ever go, you know what, Geek Pod's great, but I want to go out and do my own thing, or I want to do something different, or, you know, yeah, you want to slap me on it. Okay, as long as I can pay my bills and do something I love, I should be happy, because most people don't ever get to do that.
Very true. I agree 100%.
So, hopefully, this is a sign of things turning in the right direction. Finally, I have some news items for our good friend Sal. Two things revolving around Dragon Ball Z. First of all, something to read when you get hungry every 5 minutes, and you're not going to know this if you've never watched Dragon Ball, but Viz Media has picked up the Dragon Ball Super manga. Apparently, they're going to be publishing this, I believe, digitally and in print form. Now, I don't know if this is new stuff or if they're reprinting old stuff, honestly, because I'm still dipping my toes in the Dragon Ball world. So I'm not out of regular Dragon Ball yet. So I don't know if Dragon Ball Super is something new or something old. I do know that with a lot of those Japanese mangas, they'll republish them because, I mean, they go back 20 years now, and they're getting them back out there or redo them for a new generation of readers. So we don't always, it's not always new stuff when something new is coming out. But that's exciting news that they're going to be working on more publications. The other thing is you can play with your balls this October. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Dragon Ball Xenoverse, but it is an apparently pretty popular game on PlayStation and Xbox, excuse me. Sorry about that. Had a little bit of gas. I intend on picking Xenoverse up on PlayStation Network once the price comes down, once there's a discount, only because I don't have a huge gaming budget or much of one at all, so I usually have to wait for those discounts. But apparently it's been well-received, and it's kind of the Dragon Ball Z game a lot of people have been waiting for. I believe it's kind of a hybrid fighting game with some other elements and all that. They're going to be making a sequel. Nice. Which is exciting for Dragon Ball fans, and that's going to be coming out this October. So, you know, this October, whip out your Dragon Balls and polish them up, because it's time to play with some balls. Okay, that didn't...
It was funny until you got to the last part.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was going to come out better.
You killed it.
It kind of sagged on you?
Yeah. It was all sagged on me.
I remember watching that, though. Like, the tapes, like the actual tapes.
Those are called VCR tapes or VHS tapes.
Yeah, those. I remember having Dragon Ball Z on those and watching them with my...
Former uncle.
Yeah, former uncle. So, yeah, I remember, I think it was the blonde one. That was my first crush when I was little. And straight.
Well, that depends on whether that he'd gone Super Saiyan or not, because Goku has black hair when he's normal and blonde hair when he's Super Saiyan.
The blonde one.
Okay. You don't know what we're talking
not
about.
Not a clue.
To us, I'm not Super Saiyan much at all. That makes sense.
I'm sure Sal will love that joke.
And that's the news, folks.
All right. I'm very excited to discuss this. Since we've recorded last, there has been some major, major developments in my geek life.
Ooh. Paul, I'm going to respect you no matter your life choices.
Oh, you're going to respect these. So, Father's Day came and went since we recorded. Since last time was the day before Father's Day we recorded. My wife had a hard time coming up with a cool gift for me. Like, they got me stuff that was really cool. I thought it was cool. She didn't need to stress. I got two superhero t-shirts, one of which is the kind that you see on Facebook where it says, you know, my dad is as smart as Tony Stark, as strong as the Hulk, and it goes, lists five or six different ones. They mix Marvel and DC characters, which kind of made me cringe a little bit because you can't do that.
Except in Amalgam.
Very true. So I got that t-shirt from her and the kids, and then I got one that shows like vintage Marvel heroes running at you and says, trust me, I'm a superhero. And then the girls made me cards, and Madison made me a painted rock.
Nice.
That says, my dad rocks on it. They made that at school. That is now in a place of honor at my desk at work. But all of this, which was, I was thrilled with, tickled with all this stuff. Not literally tickled, because that's just ill.
Tickling with a rock would be hard.
Yeah, it's usually called assault. That would usually be called assault, I believe.
Wow, I saw that kick in and you just lost it.
Middle of it, yeah. So, I was more than happy with all of that. But she said, look, I couldn't come up with a really cool gift for you. Here's what I was going to spend on you. Go buy whatever you want.
Nice.
I did. I bought video games.
Nice.
I bought Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Oh.
Wait, there's more. Yeah, I'll take the high five, though. And I bought Skyrim. See, did I not tell you I'd be impressed?
Oh, no, you told me I'd be impressed.
Yeah, I'm impressed with myself all the time.
I've noticed that.
Now, this is where I'm going to lose you. I have not played either game yet. In the 2 weeks that I've owned them. And it's because of the other part of this that I think will impress you as well. I have now entered the world of Westeros.
Oh my god.
I am one episode away from finishing season one.
Paul, I gotta say, I've always been proud of you. I've always been proud of you. Even when you failed, I knew you tried. But this moment here makes all of my stress and worry about you worth it.
Thanks. So yeah, I finally buckled and started into it, and now I can't stop.
Are you watching it with your wife?
No, she wants no part of it.
Oh, she would love it.
She doesn't. She's watched parts of episodes with me.
You can't do that. You can't watch parts of episodes of anything.
I'm aware of this. You know, it's funny that the way I'm going to put this. You know what turns her off about the show?
What?
All of the fucking.
Really?
Yes.
You know that tones down a little bit as it goes on.
Yeah, she doesn't care. She just hates the show with a passion, and so she's begone. God,
my wife loves Game of Thrones more than I do, I think.
No, she wants no part of it. So, I mean, I think I'm going to check back in when we record about my progress of where I'm at.
How do you feel so far?
I love the show. The problem with the first season is they want you to care about Ned Stark. And the fact that he's played by Sean Bean already let me know from episode one that that motherfucker was going to die.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for anyone who, you know, hasn't watched a six-year-old season.
He won't let me.
Who won't let you? You won't let her watch Game of Thrones?
That's
understandable.
Now, here's the thing. It's not that I don't think she can handle it. She's of a maturity level where I'm sure she can handle that. I mean, she watches R-rated horror movies and all that. It's the whole idea that CPS would kick my ass if I let her watch Game of Thrones at that age.
Like they would find out.
It's not the point.
Aside from the fact that it's going out to thousands of listeners right now as we discuss it on air.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is, I don't think your mom would have a problem with it either at this point. But again, I mean, you watched Dexter with her.
She doesn't want me to watch Orange Is the New Black.
From what I hear, I could understand that as well.
No, like there's like nothing when you get past like the first couple of episodes in season one.
So clearly, she's not been listening to her mother, and your mother will not know this.
You're the one that just
said it on air.
Yeah,
but I can trust you. And it's not like she's going to listen.
And all of our thousands of listeners she can trust too. Who do not know your mother, which is
trust me, I hate it when you do that.
That's not fair to him.
No, it's
I'm
not.
Sorry.
She says she's sorry, but she's got a big grin on her face. She's not sorry. So anyway, can we go back to Game of Thrones?
He's the cool one. He's the nice one.
Oh, man, I hope she doesn't listen to it now.
She doesn't.
You know who's going to pay for those comments? Not you, me. Anyway, continue. As Paul has a mouthful of, what is that?
Powerade. Let's put it out there very quickly. I finished episode 9 last night, which ends with the beheading of Ned Stark.
Yeah.
You saw it coming halfway through the season. I'm a little disappointed that the seasons are only 10 episodes long.
It's HBO, and they make episodes based on the material they have, not on some artificial number. So. Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm loving it. I even considered picking up a Jon Snow action figure for my desk at work.
That would be cool. I'll tell you, the season 6 finale was just, well, since Father's Day as well. And I'll tell you, as far as season finales go, for every show has missteps, especially when they run for a long time. Some people complain about last season of Game of Thrones a little bit, that it got a little dragged down in places. I don't know. I enjoy it every week, so I don't know if I necessarily agree, but I can see why people would think that. For a show that started off really being about, you know, sex, position, and violence and death, the show really matures, and there's less of that as you go on. But when it goes on, especially with the violence and the death, oh, it's on.
Oh, yeah.
It's major, but they're not drawing people in with that now, because that's not what the show's about. But man, as far as season finales go, to hit every single box, it could have ended like 3 scenes before it did, and I would have still been happy, but then it just kept going and kept going, and it was like, it was almost like it was a 6-year master plan to get all of these different players in this position, and it all happened at once. All these events could have all happened at different times, and it would have still been a great episode of TV, but to have it all happen at once, it was like, holy shit, I cannot wait for next season.
And it's not until, what, April?
Yeah, I assume so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, by the time April rolls around, we will be discussing the new season together. I will definitely be all caught up by then. I will probably be caught up by August. Who are we shitting? But
you're not going to regret it.
No, I'm enjoying it, especially with the fact that I have all summer, another month, of free HBO. So I get to watch it nightly, stream it for myself. And
it's not on Netflix?
I don't think it
no,
is.
No, because HBO has their own
HBO
streaming
Go
thing, yeah.
Yes. So.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, she's trying to find ways around it. Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
I'll tell you know who I absolutely love too? And
if you say Sansa, I will backhand you.
No, I wasn't going to say Sansa, though her character gets a lot better.
That's what I heard.
Peter Dinklage. I mean, we already knew he was awesome, yes. But I swear to you, people say, you know, if Daryl dies, we riot for The Walking Dead. I'll tell you, the one character I want to see still alive at the end of the show, not that I don't love all the characters in play now, but man, I mean, once you see the journey Tyrion Lannister takes, he's just incredible. And Peter Dinklage does such a great job in showing a character go through a journey that this past week, I mean, there is a scene where he doesn't even speak, and you can see a range of like four different emotions happen in the space of a few seconds. Wow. As something happens, and he doesn't even say anything. Somebody else is talking, and it's just like, it just blew me away. It wasn't even like huge facial expressions or big eye movements, but I saw it when it happened. And then I read about people talking about it the next day. When you get there, I'm sure you'll see it. It really stood out for me. It was a big moment for the character, and I was just like, yeah. Amazing, amazing show.
I was amazed already, and I'm asking you to think back 6 years at this point.
That's fine.
At the character development with Khal Drogo, just in a matter of episodes. He goes from, like, this son-of-a-bitch rapist to somebody you care about.
Yeah.
Like, in a matter of four episodes. And it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, there's a reason this season finale that just happened, pulled in the biggest numbers the show's ever had, 6 years into its run.
Wow.
Biggest numbers. That's counting the fact that Game of Thrones is the most pirated show in the world.
I believe that.
So you have to take into account that more people steal that show than watch it legitimately, and it still pulled in its biggest numbers ever. And, I mean, pretty much the only shows that beat it are, like, The Walking Dead and stuff like that. But the demo, and this is interesting, it pulls in a higher demo than Walking Dead does.
Really?
Yeah. Even though it's a smaller number of viewers, it hits that 18 to 34, 39 demo a little bit better.
Nice.
So... yeah, great show. And I saw, like, was it Josh that posted something this week on his on Facebook that he'd never seen an episode? I've seen a couple of those this week. I have not seen a single episode of Game of Thrones, not one ever. To everybody who says that, please stop doing that because it's a thing. It's a thing. It's like a badge of honor to have never watched Game of Thrones. It's one of the best TV shows ever made, hands down, period. I mean, even if you take out the fact that, yes, there is some... sex and all that in the show. There's sex in lots of shows.
Yes.
Okay, and they learned from the fact that people don't want to watch people have sex talking. You know, that happens, the sex position thing happens quite a bit in the early seasons. It's still, first of all, it's not porn. And second of all, it's probably accurate. It's probably period accurate. And get over yourself. Okay? Because if this was real world and they weren't blurring stuff out, people would be watching it like crazy. Or whatever the new popular reality show is. Game of Thrones is one of the best written shows on television, hands down. And I promise anybody who's never watched an episode, who goes and actually gives it a shot. And the first season's a great place to jump on. Not just because it's the first season, but because you have Sean Bean carrying it. And he's an amazing actor anyway. I guarantee you will not be disappointed.
I don't think that saying you've never watched it is really a badge of honor for most. It's more of like, thing. I feel really left out now.
Oh, no,
no. No, this is a thing that a lot of people are like, because there's so much talk about the show that the people who aren't watching it, like, I think I saw the thing that Josh posted that you're talking about was like, now that the season's over, like, I don't even remember what the GIF was or the video.
Yeah.
But someone was like relieved, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those, it's like, oh, for the fuck's sake, stop talking about it, is kind of the thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and there's a reason.
I feel left out.
There's a reason people talk about it. Because it's good. Just saying.
So that's what's new with Paul.
Well, I'm proud of you, Paul.
Thank you.
And if you're playing Injustice, I wonder if we can play multiplayer. Because you're on a PS3, I don't know if it's cross-platform. Yes. I'll have to look and see.
All right, that's my plan. And I bought the version that... with all the extra characters, so I have Lobo and Bad Girl. I mean, the difference was, it was $10 used for the normal one, or $14 for the gold edition with all of them.
And another thing too, and I don't know if the gold edition has these unlocked already, because they released characters on the console, but you can also unlock stuff by playing the mobile game, so you'd have to check and see.
Which I've started.
Oh, the mobile there you game. Go. It's a good game. What? What?
My mom bought all the seasons for my grandfather.
Of Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I think they're still lurking around our house somewhere.
Wait, they're in your house and are they open? So you could open them and she wouldn't... So she bought your grandfather used DVDs?
No. He watched them and then Pumpkin watched them. So I think they're still at our house.
Gotcha. She's actually publicly talking about the subterfuge she's about to plan.
Yes. I caught that part. I just didn't know what pumpkins and stuff had to do with
it. Oh, Pumpkin is her stepdad.
Okay.
They call him Pumpkin because he has red hair.
Ah.
No, it's just a thing.
Well, I don't know what else it would have been.
That's just what he wanted us to call him when we were little. And
you know, from now on, I want to be called Eggplant, okay? Call me Eggplant.
No, but, like, it's different because Ella and Ewan call him Daddy. I don't want to call him Daddy because he's not my dad. And calling him Eric, I mean, apparently that's disrespect.
Which is true. It is disrespectful to a degree.
So
it's okay to think
my
about.
Only option is Pumpkin. Sometimes
sure.
I forget that people think that's fruit instead of a person.
Well, you need to respect your stepdad.
Officially, on air.
Yeah.
Injustice.
Yes, Injustice.
Right.
Yeah, that was an awkward
not
silence.
Pumpkins. Yeah, oops.
Yeah, didn't he say he was going to start listening to the show, too?
Yeah, he never did.
Oh, well, still. Just play through the story mode. It's fun. Yeah, a lot of stuff you're going to get being a comic fan. You're going to love it.
Outstanding. I'm afraid what's going to happen now is it's going to force me to start reading a comic book, too.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you can get it in collected editions at this point. I mean, it's definitely worth it. You're going to love the comic. You know, it's funny because it harkens back to that scene in Batman versus Superman when the Flash shows up. Man, it feels like they're trying to set that up in their movie universe, but I don't see how they can set it up in the movie universe.
Right.
Because while it's an interesting story, okay, you have the Man of Steel, then you have Batman versus Superman, which kills Batman. Superman. In the next movie, are they going to do alternate universe evil Superman? I mean, it's just too much.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if they could ever go there because movies take so long to make. If there's how many movies do you have to go through before you go there?
Right.
Okay, and there's a reason we've never really seen a mirror universe Star Trek movie, even though that's one of the most popular episodes of the original series. Okay? Because you can't, I mean, they're having trouble getting to the third movie here. Not trouble, but it's taken them, you know, ridiculously long time to get three movies out. You can't do alternate universe evil characters until everybody really loves your characters. And when you've made two movies like the Superman movies, that's really hard.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't think they're going to get there.
No.
They can't.
I don't think so either.
It's kind of unwieldy, anyway. I mean, it's a whole thing. There would need to be a lot of sex position.
Now, you know what's funny is if they'd open up the TV universe to more characters, they totally could do Injustice.
Yeah.
They could do an entire season in an alternate Earth where Superman's bad. Absolutely.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. That would be great TV.
Did you see that the
first episode of The Flash is called Flashpoint?
That's not what I was talking about, but that is also true.
Yeah.
There is a rumor now going that Superman may be on the second season of Legends of Tomorrow.
No! Yes. With the same guy they cast for Supergirl?
I would assume, because I can't see them using more than one Superman for that. Although they are using a second Vixen. Did you see this?
I saw something about that. Did the first girl drop out or something?
She has other commitments, so they can't have her for the TV series. She's still doing the animated series on CW Seed, but they found a really interesting way around it.
What's that?
They're using a different time period Vixen, because the same idea is it's her amulet.
Gaston.
Yeah, so they're using one from, like, World War II times.
Okay.
So they're able to recast, and it makes sense, and you still have your regular Vixen that you can trot out for Arrow whenever you need her. But we have the one from the past that they can pull from the time ship.
Yep. So. Okay. Did you finish Legends of Tomorrow?
I did.
Okay, I did not finish the show.
Do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
It is. And the end of season one sets up some very interesting stuff for season two.
Okay.
We're going to see the Justice Society.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave it at that. Watch it.
Okay.
So
what's next?
Do we want to move on to creepy shit updates?
We do, however, I think we should go to this first.
Oh, snack time first.
It's snack time. Now, I don't know if I ever said this on air, but I had thought about when we did the, I believe it was the in-store Comic-Con or one of those events in Cloud City. I wanted to go pick up the Batman and Superman cereals and put a box on the table. Maybe it was for the movie.
I think it was for the premiere. Yeah.
And have people, if they chose, because we had to pledge our side, Batman or Superman, And if you chose Batman, you got some Batman cereal to try. And we were going to compare and contrast. Well, the boxes of cereal were like $5 at the time. And I was not going to spend $10 on a joke.
On a bit.
I mean, on a bit, unless, you know, I wasn't going to buy a $10 joke unless it was like fake poop or something.
Yes.
it was just too much. Now, I have little baggies of both the cereals because I was now able to pick them up for a dollar a box at Walmart. Because they're phasing it out. Now, we're going to start with Superman. Now, this is a caramel crunch cereal. It's supposed to be a caramel-flavored cereal. Now, I have already tried both of these in a bowl with milk. I have to say, I'm not a big fan of cereal, but as they go, they were both okay. I mixed them together, actually.
Ooh.
Just to see, you know, how it tasted. I like them both. I think I like the Batman one a little bit more.
Wait. So when you mix them together, did you have a dawn of breakfast?
I did have a dawn of breakfast. So, Paul? This all is right. The Superman Caramel Crunch. The pieces are shaped like little Superman shields, but poofy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lana?
I guess they are. I don't get caramel.
I don't. Little Captain Crunch, maybe.
That's, yes, thank you.
But not exactly.
Captain Crunch with a little bit of a hint of Kryptonian, yes.
I wonder when they added it to the recipe. What do you think, Lana?
I don't like it.
No? Why not?
It's just really sweet in the first couple of seconds.
All right, next up, we have the Batman cereal. Now, the Batman cereal, and this is an interesting combination. Paul, I want you to smell this first. Smell it?
It's his finger. No.
What do you smell?
Strawberry?
Yeah, it is chocolate strawberry. Now, I don't get anything strawberry shortcake about the Dark Knight, but I'm not sure why they chose chocolate strawberry. This could have just been chocolate, and it would have made sense. But, and here's the interesting thing, this kind of works in a monster cereal kind of way. If you think like Frankenberry and all that stuff. Check this out. In fact, it almost tastes like the marshmallows. They put Frankenberry marshmallows in Count Chocula.
I'm not a fan.
Really?
Really. She's got it ill.
Lana is spitting it out. You really think it's that awful?
Okay. Her response is a little much.
It's like, I really don't like fake strawberry. It's like artificial strawberry in a Tootsie Roll.
It tastes like somebody's parents just died.
That's what I get from that. Oh, man. Oh, Paul, you're going to hell for that.
If I believed there was one, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
So the taste test, I guess by default, I would go with Superman just because it's tolerable.
Yeah, I like Superman better.
Well, I really prefer the Batman cereal. I don't mind the strawberry flavor, and like I said, it reminds me of the Monster cereals, which I loved as a kid.
Oh, like, it's...
It is. If nothing else, it's more distinct, whereas the Superman tastes samey. It tastes like a lot of other breakfast cereals. But maybe that familiarity is why you like it more.
Like, I didn't even chew it. I just kind of licked it, and I'm like, ugh.
But, that is the taste test. So...
Go buy the Superman one, not the Batman.
For $1.
They're done now. Would you ever eat these again?
Possibly the Superman.
Maybe this one. This one, you can throw that away.
Batman, I would avoid.
Yeah?
Like the plague.
Most criminals would. You did say you're more supervillain, or anti-hero.
I guess. So, yeah, not my favorite. Maybe for $1, I'd pick up the Superman one.
I was thinking of saving the boxes, because isn't that a thing?
Yes, it is a thing. But is it going to be a thing for a movie that was horrible?
I don't know. The boxes look cool, though. I mean, the symbols on them, big Superman symbol, big Batman symbol, raised and textured and shiny and all that. They're really cool-looking boxes.
Nice. See, that is cool. And it's unfortunate that the movie was so bad, because, I mean, there was such an opportunity for cool shit out of that.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about that again?
No.
Okay. Moving on.
Alright, so let's get into our creepy shit updates. I'm pretty sure yours is much meatier than mine. I decided I was going to put a little more footwork into this Whiskey Hollow movie that I had said was in production. Well, the movie was released in 2012. I actually have the information from IMDb here. The movie is an hour and 35 minutes long. Came out January 7th, 2012. Had a real premiere at the Palace Theater. They had an estimated budget of $1,000 for this thing. Opening weekend, the one screen at the premiere, they made $2,660.
Nice!
Yes. So, it was a success. Dare say a blockbuster. And I guess since then, apparently you can rent this on Vimeo or all those other places, whatever you call them.
Okay.
Made $1,650 in rentals.
Nice!
So, they've done well. It was directed by Matthew Lipke. Also written by Matthew Lipke and Aaron Stoliker. Starred Aaron Lynn Doyle, Aaron Stoliker, Matthew Keim, K-E-I-M, I'm not sure. Production company is Lipke Productions. You can find all this stuff on the web through Facebook. I've reached out to the movie makers, and I've got no response. But I just want to give a quick beat of the storyline.
Okay.
A group of seven teens led by Steve Cedars set out to explore and film the legends of Whiskey Hollow Road in a small town in central New York. Armed with nothing but a few camcorders, they enter the woods not knowing what to expect. The student filmmakers begin to find blood trails on the road, a hanging noose, and other strange things that seem to correspond with the legends. As soon as one member of the group disappears, they all start to panic, naturally. Tensions rise when bodies begin to show up, and when they discover there is no easy way out. The remaining members of the group must find a way out of the hollow or find out who is behind the horror that lies within before it's too late. I have not taken a look at it yet.
Sounds good.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, and the fact that it's about a real local place.
Yes.
I mean, I hope that's not what happens to us when we go and explore it, but...
That would actually be kind of fun.
Being hunted by something in the woods and killed? Yeah. Brutally?
Well, maybe not the killed part, but, you
maybe
know.
Maybe not the killed part, as if you're still on the fence about that?
Maybe it'd be okay.
I've achieved a lot. I suppose if it ended now, I wouldn't be too upset.
But
no, I'm assuming that I would be the only one to make it out.
Oh, you're going to be the final girl?
Yeah.
You can't be the final girl.
Why can't I?
Because you're gay.
So?
The final girl's never gay. They should be, but they never are. The gay person is always like the friend and all that, and usually second to last or third to last killed. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm not even saying that's right. I'm just saying, you know, from film.
These are the rules for the tropes, yes.
Yes, because the final girl has to match most of Middle America's values. So... I could be wrong, actually. I'm sure there has been films where the gay character is the one that survives, but I can't think of one off the top of my head, and I've seen a lot of horror films. That should happen more often. Hollywood, get on that.
I mean, I'm blonde. I have blue eyes.
Well, depending on what day of the week.
Yeah,
okay, I'm giving my hair a break, so it's going to stay this weird snot green color until it's healthy.
There you go.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like bright green, and then down the middle it was like bright purple on the other side. It was so cool, but it faded ridiculously fast. Like the next week it's
very cool.
I dyed it like 2 weeks ago with Manic Panic.
Yeah, that stuff never lasts, does it? Isn't that...
Holy shit, Paul, your knowledge of hair dye surprises me.
No,
I've got some stories I can tell
you. I'm pretty
you.
Sure Manic Panic's supposed to be like one of those good, like, funky color brands.
It's but good, apparently, but it's also if it says right on the bottle that they're temporary.
Yeah,
so. It said semi permanent.
Oh well, they've changed that. But semi permanent still means temporary.
More than one hair washing counts as semi permanent, I would think.
Yes.
Yeah. So apparently, I have to go the route of a new brand called Arctic Fox, which everybody loves. Apparently, never heard of it.
But I haven't bothered looking at it because I'm not attached to my phone 24/7.
Boom, science.
What?
Because you're saying apparently, but I mean, you're always on your phone. How have you not Googled this if you're interested in it?
I mean,
what was it?
Like I said, I'm not dyeing my hair because the ends, like when I wash them, They're so dry, they, like, stick together. Like, I put hairspray in them, they're, like, clumpy, it's gross. But it's because they're dry. So, what I'm just it? Gonna...
Like, last time we were... Because it's been a while since I've really had you, and maybe it was on Father's Day. But something came up, and I was like, man, what a shame. It'd be awful useful if you had a device that allowed you to look things up on the internet attached to you 24/7. It was something, I forget what it was, but it was like something that you could Google like in 2 seconds, and you were like, oh man, I totally don't know the answer to this. I forget what it was, though.
Curses, how will I
no,
ever
but
figure
like,
this out?
You have to order it online. And I'd rather just go to Sally's and buy it straight from the store.
Well, if you have to order it online, you don't have a choice. You can't walk into Sally's and say, I know this is only sold online, but give it to me now.
No.
No, you got some back then.
No, I got Manic Panic because...
I'm friends with Joey. Joey said I could get it here.
she's
well, I'm sure she's never seen a gangster movie before. She probably doesn't even know what that is.
No, I have.
She, oh, okay.
But, like, I didn't hear about it until after... I had already dyed my hair. So.
And Paul is staring at the computer. How
I'm
are
just
levels?
Looking at levels.
Everything
for
good?
For the people that speak into the microphones, they're great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And for the person who doesn't?
I speak into the microphone.
You're always looking at me. You need to kind of look at the microphone. I mean, I appreciate you looking at me when you talk to me. I mean, that's a
which
sign of
respect.
Which is respectful. Yes. Which you got to not turn your head quite so far. Move
that's
your eyes. Your eyes actually move back and forth if you weren't.
Yes,
aware.
I
okay.
know. Why?
I'm spending the rest of the show staring at this wall.
And I still know you're talking to me, Paul. It's okay. I'm not offended. What do we got up next?
Your updates.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so I went ahead and did a little more research on the Happy Valley incident, which we talked about last week. Now, the Happy Valley incident...
I want to stop you right there.
Okay.
Every time you say that, I think of a cowboy picture. I don't know why. that sounds like it should be a cowboy movie.
The Happy Valley incident. No, so we were talking about Happy Valley last week, and I remembered that I had seen on Facebook that somebody was making a movie about... some stuff that happened in Happy Valley. I don't know if it was fictional or based on true events, but regardless, I did do a little more research. And first of all, I want to say it's done by a company called First Kind Films. And I pulled up their website here. Or, I'm sorry, not First Kind, Fourth Kind. Sorry, Chase, Fourth Kind Films. Now, I've been in touch with the kid who runs the Facebook, at least. And I believe he's the person who kind of runs this whole thing. His name is Chase. And they've worked on a couple different movies. They have the Happy Valley incident, the Oneida Lake incident. They also have a close encounter research team, which they call CERT. So they're kind of into extraterrestrial investigations, paranormal investigations, all sorts of stuff. And him and I texted a little this week. And we're talking about, you know, having him get in on the show and sitting down and talk with us because we're not just interested in the Happy Valley incident. Now, I did see from their Facebook, production has ceased on that. I don't know what the story is. I'm hoping we can talk about that. But I also want to say, you know, Chase, if you're listening, since I contacted him, he'll probably listen now, just to hear if we talk about it or what we're all about. We actually want to talk about everything that those guys do. If they can't talk about the movie for some reason, because there was mention of deep pockets in the post where they said they weren't really working on it anymore, so I don't know if something got shut down or whatever. Or if maybe another movie company was trying to make something based on that. Who knows? But I'm just interested in their whole gig. I mean, they're talking about everything from he had an idea for this big ghost hunting adventure overnight with multiple spots and having people come along, all the way to publishing a magazine of stories and urban legends and things like that. A lot of cool stuff that apparently they're working on. And, of course, GeekPod being interested in all these things, we would love to take part in anything from... you know, paranormal investigations, extraterrestrial investigations, have people on here talking about stuff, filming stuff, whatever. I mean, we're not even sure what this is all going to take shape. This is not a new interest for us personally, but a new interest within the podcast of this kind of stuff because we're finding people are really interested in this. So I would love to partner with these guys. So Chase, if you're listening, you know, giving you guys a plug, Fourth Kind Films, go check their stuff out. Go to their website or their Facebook page. And we're hoping we can get you on the air and talk about some of this stuff, and maybe we can do some stuff together. That sounded really dirty. I didn't mean it like that. But
yeah.
Yes, you did.
It'd be awesome if we could, like, go on one of these adventures with them.
I mean, we're going to do some stuff on our own anyway.
Yes.
But if we can get other people involved, other people with experience, other people with equipment that we might not have access to. Regardless, I mean, hey, we're all interested in the same thing. You know what's fun? Hanging out with like-minded people. That's really what Geek Pod's about. So let's make something happen.
Agreed. Let's do it. Now, let's go. Happy Valley.
He lives in Cicero. I don't know his address, though. We can just knock on each door in Cicero. Hey, does Chase from Fourth Kind Films live here? No? Okay, go to the next house.
How long before we get arrested?
I don't know.
Question.
I've been asking myself that my entire life, and I've been doing pretty good so far.
Did you do any more research on the incident itself?
I did not. Okay. I did not.
Because we kind of both had the same idea. Looked into the film production stuff.
Yeah.
Nice. I couldn't find any more information about the legend itself. I mean, it's all basically rehashed of the same stuff we talked about last week. So until we actually get out there and get feet on the ground, eyes in the area, possibly Lana in that trapdoor in the cabin.
You know, I've seen some of her makeup jobs, and she does bear a resemblance to that "I'll Swallow Your Soul" lady in the basement of the Evil Dead movie. So
nice.
We could totally reenact that.
Come on, who's seriously going to go down that trapdoor if it's there?
I will.
Whether she has a choice or not, she's going.
Yep.
Who's that stuffing her down in there? Go.
Poking me with a stick. Get down there.
Oh, that'd be too funny. Swallow your soul. Yeah, we totally got to get that on video.
Yeah.
Now, you do realize I don't think we can, in good faith, do this without Josh, right? Like, oh, I think he would be very...
Yeah, we're going to have Josh come along. Yes. And it sounds like he'd make room in his schedule for something like that. I mean, and it'd probably have to... I'm guessing we're going to take place of a podcast recording to go do this.
That would be awesome. We'll find ways around this. We'll do this.
We'll figure it out. And while the weather's good, I'd like to get this done before the summer's out.
I like it.
Yeah, but my issue is I don't like bugs. I don't like spiders. I don't...
Okay, cancel it all.
That's fine. I just...
We have to do it from inside. Yes.
I don't like bugs.
We'll roll her out in like a bubble boy bubble.
There we go. Then we can push her down the stairs and she'll bounce. That'd be awesome. You know, we don't even know that there's stairs under this trapdoor. You could open that trapdoor and there could be wood. Or just a drop.
Yes. That would be outstanding.
Lana, yell to us when you hit bottom.
Bubble come out and kick off.
That was really cool. You were like laughing out smoke.
Vape.
Recommendations? Are we ready to roll on that or do we have something else?
I don't know, Lana, do you have anything you want to talk about this week?
I don't know.
So that means no.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I have plenty of things I could talk about.
But you never do.
She always threatens, but...
I don't threaten. If you want me to talk about Urban Legends, I can. There's one that I remember, because it's like...
I can only keep one thing in my brain at a time?
No. It's one that I remember the name of. And then the rest are like creepypastas. Which we have yet to do. But it's an ongoing inside joke with me and my friend. Because we were really interested in this. So one night we were YouTubing a bunch of urban legends and stuff. We came across this one called Humans Can Lick Too. And it's about this girl. And her parents went out of town. But they got her a dog to keep her safe. And she was going to bed. And dog was supposedly at the side of the bed. She hung her arm off the side of the bed. Dog was licking her hand. She wakes up, and there's this little trickle, like drops. So she goes to the sink, turns it off. Nothing's there. She goes back to bed, dog licking her hand. She wakes up a couple hours later to the same thing.
The drip, drip, drip.
Yes. Opens the shower curtain to find her dog hanging with its neck slit. Drip, drip, drip. Goes back into her bedroom, turns on the light. On the wall written in blood is "Humans Can Lick Too."
That's creepy.
That sounds like a creepypasta more than an urban legend.
I don't know.
I mean, an urban legend is more like the stuff we were talking about tied to actual places and... Yeah, to a degree, you know.
Maybe it's just a creepy story.
Yeah, I think so.
But, so, whenever we hang out and she's off the bed, I'm like, humans can lick too, and we just jokingly jump on the bed.
Well, you know, the problem with that story, the hole I see, is if that happened after paranormal activity, nobody sleeps with any body part off the bed anymore. Nobody. Just, you don't do that.
Oh, no, I never did in the first place. I'm like, nope. Weird. Demon's going to grab my leg. Yeah. It's kind of like the whole thing where you can't sleep without, like, blankets on. It just feels weird. I have to have them on my feet, at least. It's weird.
Can't sleep. Clowns will get me.
I'm not scared of clowns.
Your sister's scared of clowns.
She is?
Ella. She says she is. I don't know, but she says a lot of stuff, so.
I was at Fright Night, and I essentially told, when I was, like, younger, essentially told a clown to go fuck himself.
Nice.
Did he beep his nose in response?
No, he just kind of stood there with the knife, and I'm like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. I don't care.
Wow, you know, that's an actor who has to do that for lots of people. That could have, like, ruined his night right there. He was like, wow, not only was I not convincing and I failed at life, my one job, to be scary, but now I have to go home and fuck myself. Because she told me to.
Those weren't my words exactly.
Oh, well, then why did you say that?
Unbelievable.
I was like...
You're a liar.
I was like 7.
Oh, well, okay. I guess that makes sense. Yes, on to the recommendations, Paul.
Yes. So let's open up the floor to the Geek Pod Book Club. What'd you read this week?
Captain America Sam Wilson number 10.
Okay.
Yeah, you're looking at me up. The reason I read this is because some of the fallout from Civil War, specifically Rhodey's funeral, happens in this book.
Oh,
so,
really?
So that's why I was interested in it. Now, I'm going to probably read the next couple issues, just for one thing, because maybe it was just this issue because of the subject of, you know, a black hero dying. But this book seems like it might be, I'm afraid I'm using the term racially charged in the wrong way, because sometimes that means it's a negative connotation. I don't mean it in that way. This book was about all of the black superheroes in the Marvel Universe. I don't know if they have a club or what, but they all got together before the funeral. The new Nick Fury thanks them for inviting him to the club, almost as if it's like a thing. Now, that's cool. I didn't know about that. I don't read Sam Wilson anyway. And it's entirely possible that the books I regularly read, this kind of subject matter wouldn't have been brought up. Not by choice. I don't avoid black characters, obviously, in my comic books, but I can't really think of, now that I think about it, I mean, I don't read Luke Cage or anything like that, so I just, not any of the books I generally pick up. But it was interesting because the whole book seemed to be about the black characters in the Marvel Universe talking about how Jim Rhodes inspired them because of where they came from. You know, especially the ones that, you know, grew up in poor places and stuff like that, and how he showed, even back when he was Iron Man, when nobody even knew he was Iron Man because it wasn't a public thing, that, you know, you can come from wherever you come from and achieve something that big. It was very inspirational, and they were basically asking him to speak at his funeral, even though he didn't know Jim Rhodes very well. They were pointing out the fact that having a black Captain America is a huge deal to all the black kids because they see, you know, it's not just a white guy in a suit or something. They're not, you know, I could be a superhero too. It gives them hope. And I was like, wow, that's a really inspiring message. And I'm curious to see if this book is, if that's tied into the fabric of this story. Kind of like, you know, I've said that, you know, the new Black Panther books are very tied in the culture of Wakanda, which is different because all the other comic books are just regular, normal America. There's black people, white people, all that stuff. Topics of race don't generally come up, and it's a good guy versus a bad guy. Both of these books seem to be very topical, and I am more interested in it now than I was. I mean, I don't dislike Sam Wilson as a character. I never read regular Captain America, so why would I start reading Sam Wilson Captain America? Good book. Very fitting tribute for Rhodey. And I think it's worth a read. I mean, go pick it up. Take a look at it. Maybe you'll stick around a little bit to see, you know, if this is what this book is. Because if it is more, I don't want to say again, racially charged. If there's an element of that to this character, I'm suddenly more interested in Sam Wilson. I thought it was just, hey, you know, Falcon is in the Avengers movies, so let's make him the new Captain America, since him and Cap are buddies in the movies. I didn't realize there could be another layer to that.
Right. Now, I know, because I read All New, All Different Avengers, and I know there have been references in there about the resistance he gets to being Captain America as well.
Yeah.
Like, I remember one scene in there, like, when they're rescuing people and they're doing cleanup and everything afterwards. Somebody says, hey, something about, look, it's Captain America. And there's an old white guy in the panel who says, that's not my Captain America. So I know that there's a whole racial thing with it and with the whole legacy of Captain America thing. So I'm thinking that his own book probably has a lot of that tied to it, like showing the struggle for him. And
you know, I wish that while they don't want to publicize things based on race, had I known that there was elements of this in this book, I probably would have picked it up sooner. Only because, I mean, that's the real world. We need to show that. We need to show black heroes and Hispanic heroes and all different races of heroes being beacons of hope. You know, that's really important. That's one of the big reasons that Miles Morales is such an awesome character. You know, having, you know, a half-black, half-Hispanic Spider-Man is a huge deal. You know, considering the character's pedigree. Again, they can't say, hey, come read our new black Captain America, because people would say that's racist or reverse racism or something, because people who are racist are stupid and there's always some fucking excuse for it. But it completely ignoring that and having somebody just find out like I did because of an event that, hey, there's some pertinent current issues being discussed in this book. I mean, comic books are entertaining, but they're also used for change. They're agents of change, just like they're agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And if you don't let us know, I mean, all the news that I go through, all the Marvel books I read, and I had no idea that this was right. Going on in Sam Wilson, or Captain America Sam Wilson. No idea at all. Huh. That's inexcusable.
Yes, I agree. Shame on them.
I'm still eating the cereal.
That's fine. Yeah. So, the book I read also deals with Nick Fury Jr. I read Civil War II, Choosing Sides, number one. Now, my whole intention for reading this book is shallow to begin with. And that's because I read an interview that Declan Shalvey, who was artist on Moon Knight, was writing some of the stories in this. This is an anthology book. There's three different stories in this one. And apparently, as it progresses, one of the anthologies is going to be Moon Knight centric. So naturally, I'm starting to pick this up to see how this is going to unfold. It's an interesting book. It's just different viewpoints. Like, we're zeroing in on characters or groups on the effects of what's going on with Civil War. Two. The first one, as I said, was Nick Fury Jr. He goes on a mission to supposedly root out Hydra, only to find out that all of the agents that are with him are all double agents and trying to kill him. That's the whole thing. And so as of now, apparently, in Marvel, Nick Fury is considered dead. He's MIA dead because the mission fails and he's on his own trying to figure this out.
Sounds an awful lot like a movie I watched a couple of years ago.
The Winter something?
Yeah. Winter is coming? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
The second one in there was about Night Thrasher.
I don't even know who that is. But I read the book, so.
You've read the book too? Yeah. Okay, so I'm giving you way too much information that you don't need.
But our listeners may need it.
Yes. Now, for those who don't know, and another one that fits in with my interests, Night Thrasher is the leader of the New Warriors. They were the ones that
replaced the old Warriors?
No. No, they were a group of younger heroes, think more of like Teen Titans, led by Night Thrasher. He's got a suit of armor, a skateboard, hence the Thrasher. This was a 90s team.
Yeah.
This was also when
it's not Nova, a skateboard.
Yes. When Nova made his reintroduction into the Marvel Universe. So that's why I was reading it. But they're also the group that instigated the beginning of the original Civil War.
Oh, that's right. They were making the TV show, right?
Yes. They caused the incident with Nuke, which pushed everything into motion. Nuke? Was it Nuke?
It looked like one when it blew up. I don't remember the character's name.
I want to say it was Nuke, but now anytime I think of Nuke, I think of the guy with the flag painted on his face now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So. That's okay. Marvel people will.
I am a Marvel person. There are too many characters for one person to keep track of, unless you work at a comic store.
Right. See, Jeff would know who I'm talking
about. Yeah, Jeff would. Jeff knows everything.
And the final story was Damage Control.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow, was that not just the silliest goddamn thing you ever read?
And that's the idea with Damage Control. I remember when the original Damage Control came out, and it was just straight up nonsense. And it's fun nonsense. It was refreshing nonsense.
It was sentient construction vehicles.
Yes, that's new. That was not the case before.
Yeah, when I saw, I was like, what the fuck is what?
So yeah, it was a fun book, right? All the way around?
You know, I didn't like it.
You didn't.
But there's a reason, and it's more of a personal preference. I'm not a fan of these kind of anthology books because they generally, first of all, the stories don't carry on. I mean, I don't know if this Nick Fury thing is going to continue in the next Choosing Sides or if it's going to be different stories. It used to be when they did a big event, every single book line would have their own tie-ins for it. And now they've done a couple of these, I think both companies have, with these anthology books, and man, they just irritate me. Because, first of all, they're usually about characters I have no interest in reading about. If they're not interesting enough to have their own book right now anyway, I probably don't want to read little short stories about them either. Now, that's not to say they're bad characters, but, you know, knocking the dust off. Okay, Night Thrasher, for instance. I actually skipped through that story in bits and pieces. I caught the skateboard part. I'm like, I don't really give a shit about anything that's happening right now.
That was my favorite one out of the three.
Yeah. And there's the heroes, the current Marvel heroes who are talking to him like he's some guy they hang out with every day fighting crime. And it's like, no, that doesn't happen.
I thought he was dead.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. The stories themselves were good. I mean, I did read the first and last stories. I read the Nick Fury and the Damage Control. Both were well done. Both were good. Interesting. I'd like to see where the Nick Fury thing heads. I just don't like anthology books. If I'm picking up a book, I'm picking up a book because of the characters that are supposed to be in that book. So the same reason we might have talked about this, I hate backup stories too. Because you know what? I don't want a backup story in my Batman book. Give me four more pages of Batman because I'm buying a fucking Batman book. If I wanted a Batman anthology book, I'd go find one. To me, those always felt like backup stories felt like ways to pad the number of pages in an issue page count, and to give some writers and artists that they don't have any jobs for something to do. I feel like anthology books are the epitome of that.
So, almost like a tryout book.
Yeah, yeah, and nothing, and I feel like nothing that happens there is going to matter.
Yeah, probably not. It's more of like a look in. Yeah, but now that I know Moon Knight's coming.
But is Moon Knight going to be seven pages in one issue, or is it going to be a story that, for as long as this goes on, continues having Moon Knight in it? At least if they continue, like, it's three stories, and they're going to continue those three stories in each issue, that gives me a little bit more, but these little standalone issues, no. No interest.
Yeah. I have to go back and reread the article about it.
I'll probably never even accidentally read a Damage Control story again in my life. You know, as cute as that was, I don't know that I need it.
Hey, they're saying that might be the next Marvel TV.
That's an awesome idea. I don't see how you're going to extend that premise into a regular TV show. And it's not interesting enough to be a Netflix show. But, I mean, I see 10 to 15 episodes, and then they don't know what to do with a second season.
Right. I don't think it would make it to a second season.
It's the same gag. It's the we have to clean up after the superheroes.
Right.
Okay? Unless you find a secondary premise, and that's just the backdrop, it's only going to be interesting for a little while.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly, because where do you go with that? And that's why they can't keep a comic series with it going, because it is the same thing day in and day out. They are a construction company. So that's what I got.
Well, you know, all of our listeners, if you're interested in either of these books, you can pick them up at Cloud City Comics and Toys in the Shopping Town Mall.
I forgot that part.
Yes, you did. I was waiting for you to throw it to me, and you failed. I'm telling Jeff.
So what else we got? You got anything else lined up for us? I do have a WTF file. It is a straight-up news item, though. I read it, and I was just like, that is so weird that I have to bring that to the show.
I don't currently have anything else. Lana, do you have anything you want to talk about?
Not really.
So, let's wrap this up.
All right.
I'm going to read this verbatim, because I could not do this any more justice. And, pardon my pronunciations. The town of Jerez de la Frontera, known for its sherry, flamenco dancing, and motorcycle competitions, fired a driver and a gardener employed through the local General Confederation of Labor Union after they admitted they had been collecting pay without going to work for up to 15 years.
What?
According to the local.com, an English language news network in Europe. Quote, the municipal government only seeks to eliminate unjustified acquired habits that do considerable damage to the operation of the city council, its services, and especially its battered coffers, the city said in a statement on Wednesday. The town's human resources department reportedly opened an investigation into the situation after they discovered the two failed to show up for a single day of work in the last year or any day so far this year.
Wow.
Upon further review, the department discovered the two employees, who were not named, had actually been paid for duties they had not carried out for up to 15 years.
Man. Oh.
This is where it ends. When questioned, the two employees admitted they had not gone into work, but said the situation followed a tacit agreement with the different municipal governments that had been in place for more than 15 years. Additionally, this is my favorite part, they contend they were simply taking their accumulated vacation days and those of their colleagues as stipulated under union rules.
Wow. How do you... Oh man, what a great racket to have end, though.
Yeah, they had the life. 15 years vacation paid.
Oh, man. I think it's time to move.
Yeah.
I'd even work a day or two a week. Right. I promise to give you 300% more output than your last employee.
Driver and a gardener. How do you not notice that your gardener's missing for 15 years?
Well, they must have had someone else mowing the lawn.
Right.
And now, you know, their government's like, what, we have a gardener? Why have I been doing all this shit? I thought we didn't have a gardener.
What the fuck? And on that note, megabiting bitches.
This has been a Geek Pod Network production. If you're enjoying us, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and follow us everywhere. On Twitter, at GeekPod, G33KPOD. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/GeekPod. Want to get in touch with us? Email us at contribute@geekpod.com.